Black Friday, we tried to make a connection with Dwayne Stovall, had some technical difficulties and established contact, and we lost him twice. So here he is again on the phone, U.S. Senate candidate Dwayne Stovall. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am fine, and I want to apologize again for Friday. I don't understand how that worked out, but I'm sorry about that. I really am.
Oh, well, you know, it wasn't necessarily your fault or anything. It just happened. The phone went click, and you were gone. Okay.
NSA.
Go ahead and give us your vision for your district, which is the state of Texas,
right,
interfacing with Congress, because you're in the Republican Party, but you have Jeffersonian principles, federalism, republicanism, and limited government are the platform. So go ahead and roll.
Yeah. Basically, the proper role of a U.S. senator is to look after the best interest of your state. Bar none, that's the priority. If you looked at the behavior of senators over the last century, with a few exceptions, they've basically done things like voted to increase the debt, voted to increase the size and scope of the federal government, and voted to give it unconstitutional powers, all at the expense of the state. Our current senator, who is up for election, is the poster child for that behavior. I have a clear understanding that your role as a U.S. senator is basically to be an ambassador to the federal government from your state legislature. And you are supposed to be standing guard between unconstitutional tyrannical behavior in your state. I don't understand how we got to the point we are today, but we're here, and I'd like to start pushing the concept of federalism, which is where the states hold the expansive power, except for those few enumerated delegated powers to the federal, and start talking about it being limited again and start trying to divest that unconstitutional power back to the states where it belongs.
You know, I know a lot of people are frustrated in America today, just about everybody. I don't know anybody that is really settled with all of the flap on health care and spending and debt ceiling. It just seems like the more we spend, the more we want to spend, and we max one credit card out and we just apply for another.
Well, I'm a lifelong Republican. I tell people I'm a little R Republican. That means I'm a small government guy. I'm the Republican that the Republican Party's basically gone off and left. Republicans have been just as guilty as Democrats of wanting to expand the government and take unconstitutional powers and grow the debt. I can go into a GOP meeting anywhere, and I will have a certain portion of those Republican members who consider themselves conservative who will tell you, but you must raise the debt ceiling. What are you going to do? I mean, how do you keep the government rolling? Well, in the same breath, they'll say, well, we can't sustain the path we're on. Well, I don't understand that. I don't want to be the guy that sticks his head in the sand and continues through my generation and on a path that we all know. We know in our hearts that we cannot sustain the path that we are on. And this fiscal cliff, I believe we've already gone over the cliff. I think we're in an elongated bankruptcy. I just don't want to say that I'm going to go along with this or coalesce with this idea that we'll push it off to our children. Sooner or later, there's going to be a correction, and I want our generation to be the one that steps up and takes responsibility for managing this correction. I don't want it to collapse around my children's head or my head or my grandchildren's head. And I think we all can come to some simple agreements that you can't get out of debt by creating more debt. And the path we're on has historical relevance. It's a bad, bad situation. That no society before us has ever gotten out of this situation unscathed.
Let me ask you, Dwayne, when you say that you want to be the one to start pushing back and you want to start taking this back, what are the first steps to making an impact and really doing that? Because I know a lot of people say that they want to do it, but it's easier said than done because of the place that we're in. You know, the inertia and the momentum that are carrying us in the direction that we've been going is just immense.
Sure it is. And I have people ask me all the time, what are you going to do to fix it? Well, fixing it's a whole different story. What I can do literally is never vote to increase the debt, never vote to increase the size of the federal government and never vote to give it unconstitutional powers ever again. Those are three gimmies. Those are guaranteed votes. After that, it becomes you have to be able to articulate federalism and those basic principles of the Constitution and start driving the discourse back that direction. We have nationalized almost every aspect of our lives to this central government. We've given so much power to the middle that, and I use this as an example, we're no longer the United States of America. We're the United States. It's singular. The states perform more like counties. Our state legislatures basically get together to figure out how they can get as much of our money back from this federal government or national government today with the mandates and the requirements that come with it. It's a very mafia-type relationship we have with the federal government, and the states are no longer free and independent. So if you can't change the discourse and get people to start really wrapping their brains around the idea that there's over 316 million of us in the United States, and we are literally managed by 546 individuals. That's a terrible, terrible formula. It leads to really bad things and will end poorly. So I think the idea is you have to get everybody back on task and back on the topic of federalism and get away from this nationalist viewpoint where we keep driving so much of our state sovereignty and independence to the central. It's an argument that you hardly ever hear anymore from anybody on the federal level. And I think the public would accept it real easily, as a matter of fact.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, pretty much everything that you saw the federal government involved in was national security, disaster relief, and the infrastructure of the transportation system, and that was pretty much it.
I would argue the two of those are basically unconstitutional. I'm just saying that the federal government was supposed to be so limited and so really focused on those 18 enumerated powers that today what we had as a republic based in federalism that was gifted to us by the framers has declined into a nation with a capital N based in socialism. And that limited government, I would argue, is today is basically completely unlimited. And if that federal government can do anything it wants, anytime it wants, and there's nothing we can do about it, we think. I don't know where the Constitution has limited the federal government in any serious way in the last, I don't know, century. It's a scary thought, but we like to hold the Constitution. We like to quote Jefferson. We like to say we're a republic. But the facts don't bear that out. And I want to start bringing that to the forefront and getting the state legislature of Texas to be the salt and the light of the union. I want them to start advocating that they take up their own affairs and start managing their own affairs and start protecting themselves. And this is not about Texas and the other states. This is about all the states coming together to reestablish their freedom and independence and their sovereignty to manage their own affairs against an absolutely overgrown tyrannical government we're living under today.
Hey, Dwayne, have a call for you. Michael, go ahead. You're on.
Good morning, Dwayne. It's good to hear your talking points this morning. I wish all of our elected officials would be talking the same way. My question to you is, how do you feel about term limits for senators and congressmen?
We absolutely need term limits. I can tell you why.
Got about 30 seconds, Dwayne.
30 seconds?
Yeah.
The framers designed the Constitution with a formula that's still in the Constitution of 30,000 residents to the representative. In 1929 or 28, the sitting Congress locked in a rule. Thought they had enough of them. It was 435, and they kept it there. Today, we've got 720,000 of us to a representative. There's no context of character.
Hey, Dwayne, thanks.
Go ahead.
Thanks for being with us this morning, man. We're out of time.